This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Mitch back Tuesday. Pauly Howard, John Jastrzemski, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A tough beat, an explosion late. Four late goals, all after the 80th minute as Swiss beats Bosnia 4-1. Exact score was 25-1. And that was madness what transpired. The Swiss had to have it in a match coming up in an hour, and more on that. We're joined by Adam Zadroit with RotoWire. He's on the Progressive guest line. What'd you think of that match? I mean, that was crazy. We were thinking draw again and possibly nil-nil. We had five goals when it was all said and done.
Crazy end of that one. Sorry to the under betters there. Yeah, there's a late red card, so that just opened things up, and Bosnia still wasn't kind of scared to play overly defensive there since they still needed some goals, and they just kept flowing in. So hey, anyone with over, I guess that's good for you.
Okay, so let's look at hopefully an under here maybe, or at least not a lot of action. Canada's got to have it. They're laying minus 340. 10 of their last 11 matches have gone under 2.5 goals. Draw is almost 5-1. Qatar is plus 950. Here, Canada's got to have it. How do you see this playing out and a best way to attack this?
Yeah, I think this is Canada just watched this match. Both these teams just watched this match. They need 3 points in this one. Canada is playing Switzerland next, and this is kind of a spot where I think you're either going to bet goals or you're going to bet corners. I don't know if you guys bet corners at all, but corners, basically, Canada need the 3 points, so they're going to be pushing for the majority of the game. And if they don't score, that's where the corners go. So I like corners in this one if you want to go. The number is pretty high here. It's over 7.5 corners. Is plus 100, raced in 9 corners, plus 180. But I also like a clean sheet here for Canada in a win, and that's about even odds you can get. So, you know, Qatar in their last game had 6 shots. They got the late equalizer against Switzerland. I don't think the late equalizer or the late goal is going to come in this one. So let's just take Canada. No goals allowed for them. That's a win and a clean sheet. That's about even odds. So we're back in Canada here. They need the 3 points, and they are the better team. So I think it makes sense.
All right. Good breakdown. We're on the air live tomorrow for USA and Australia. USA minus 170, a great performance to start with the opener with the win 4-1. How about a prop here, and do you see the USA getting it done again?
I think I do. This is a bit of a different game. Australia were super defensive in their win against Turkey, and they got those 2 counter goals, one of them early. So Turkey just racked up the shots. I'm not sure it's going to play out the same way in this one where USA, well, hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully USA don't allow the, you know, first goal in the first 10 minutes against Australia here. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But similarly, I think you can also bet USA corners in this one. The absence of Pulisic possibly doesn't help. It doesn't look like he's going to be ready to start. So we're going to see a little bit of a different lineup. Pulisic was awesome in the first half of the Paraguay game. So removing him definitely does take away some things, but I think you can still bet some goals for the USA. And we're still getting, I mean, we're, you know, Balogun's still going for the golden boot here in the World Cup. He had 2 goals in the first game, plus 155 anytime goal scorer in this one. First goal scorer, he's plus 450. So back USA, back Balogun to score, and hopefully that defense holds on against some of these speedy Australians.
Okay, excellent.
So Adam, I bet the United States to go to at least a round of 16. I was super stoked by what I saw in their first game. Curiously, you're someone that knows this team inside and out. Did the calculus change watching their first World Cup game as far as what the ceiling is for this team? Or am I being a little too overdramatic in just looking at one individual match? Because, listen, I'm not going to pretend to be a soccer expert, but I've seen the United States in a World Cup every 4 years. That was as good a performance as I can ever remember by a United States soccer team. So correct me if I'm wrong. Does the calculus change after seeing what you saw?
I think even with that performance, the route in the knockout rounds, your bet to the round of 16, they're currently plus 170 to reach the quarterfinal. I think those bets are still looking good, even if it was just a plain 1-0 win or something like that. Their route is still pretty favorable, but throw on the four goals, throw on, they looked amazing. Obviously, we have the Pulisic injury situation, and I don't think they can get further than the quarterfinals against a team like Argentina or however the race is going to play out in the knockout round. So depending on the matchups, we'll see who gets first in the other possible group or second in the other possible group. Maybe they'll get in a situation they're playing Belgium in the round of 16, something like that. But we need Pulisic healthy. I think if you want him to go to the round of 16, quarterfinals, maybe beyond, you need to be 100% healthy. And that's been the main thing. You know, we watch in previous World Cups, this team just really hasn't been healthy. These guys are healthy. Mm-hmm. Pulisic is on the edge of being healthy. You need everyone to stay healthy. That's probably the big thing right now going in this Australia game, going in the third group game. Maybe there's going to be some rotation in that final game against Turkey, because maybe USA wins this game against Australia and they actually don't need 3 points against Turkey. So we could see some rotation, get these guys 100% ready for knockouts. And if they are healthy, I think that, you know, what we saw in that first game, I think there's good reason to believe that this team can actually make a real run in this tournament.
Hope you're right.
9 o'clock Eastern today. Mexico plus 105. South Korea plus 300. The draws have been insane, Adam. They've been absolutely insane. I'm sick to my stomach. I'm not betting more of them because it's just been an absolute cash cow throughout this World Cup. Here we are, the draw, according to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, plus 225. Is that the way I should be looking to play Mexico and South Korea? Or dare I say, should I be playing it a little differently?
I actually like that, too. I like the draw. I think it's kind of like a 1-1 type of game. I think it's going to be pretty gritty, a massively different matchup for both of these teams compared to the first games that they played. Both teams coming off 3 points, and they don't want to get too crazy. They don't want to lose this game and be in a situation in their third game where, you know, they need points in that third game. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is, you know, one of those 1-1 exact results. It's probably sitting about plus 550, something like that. We had that day 2 days ago, I think it was, all four games or draws. It feels like a draw type of game. The two best teams in this group, and I don't think either one of them, Mexico are at home, so you kind of throw that in there. Maybe they're not going to, you know, play scared,
right.
But I think South Korea put up a decent enough fight that I do like the draw here, plus 225, so I'm with you, JJ.
1-1 is 6-1 here at Circa. Adam Zdrojek, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line with RotoWire. Follow the money, Paulie and John. Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Two more plays. You mentioned how, you know, Turkey was a sexy pick. A lot of people like Turkey, and then they lose 2-0 against Australia. Tomorrow night, do they bounce back against Paraguay?
I think they do. Paraguay, we saw them against the United States, and I don't think that they are as, I guess, sound defensively as what Australia looked against them. Australia kind of just let Turkey, you know, blast shots from outside, 30 shots in that game, most of them of not high quality. I don't really think Paraguay have that in them. We saw them against the United States. Some of their defenders kind of look out of their depth a little bit, and Turkey present a few of those same guys who can make things happen on the wing and score goals. And we're getting, it's about even odds, plus odds here on Turkey, plus 105 I'm seeing right now to win the game. And they do need to win this game. So, you know, they lost the opener. This is their game to win, and they are the better team. And the thought is the goals are actually going to go in this game at plus 105. And if you want to get a little crazier, maybe Turkey over 2.5 goals. Maybe that one's too crazy, but a little more money. Turkey over 2.5 goals is plus 350 odds. So that one's pretty nice.
Okay. Germany, fantastic in their first match. They won 7-1. They take on Ivory Coast Saturday. Total of 2.5 over minus 150. Over, more goals for Germany again Saturday afternoon?
I think this is going to be a fun one. Germany, we already saw the 7-1 result, but they weren't really tested defensively in that game. I think they're going to be tested a little bit in this game. Ivory Coast got the late win against Ecuador on their first one, but they have some standout guys. Jan Diamond, he just had an article in the Players Tribune about how he grew up playing soccer. A guy in the rumors of $100 million to go to Liverpool. That was the rumor today. This guy is going to be a nuisance for Germany. And on the other end of that, I don't think Ivory Coast defense is good enough to keep Germany completely out. So I think both sides are going to get goals. I think the talent in this game is going to be on both sides of this game. So you can bet goals, both sides, both teams to score over 2.5. There's a lot of different ways. Maybe you want to go over 3.5 goals as well. There's been a few games like that in the World Cup. That one is sitting at plus 165. So I think both teams can score on this one. It'll be a real test for this Germany team, seeing a team that can actually do things on the wing and have a few goal scorers.
Excellent job,
okay,
my man.
Adam. Futures.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Futures market, real quick. I got to hit you on this. I got Portugal. I got the Netherlands. If there's another future I can add, you got about 20 seconds. What's the future I should add?
We got USA to reach the quarterfinal. You kind of already mentioned that one.
Yeah, I got that and too. I'm talking outright. Switzerland.
Let's go. Let's go Morocco. Morocko quarterfinal +225. 40-1. Win it all. Morocco. We saw them against Brazil. I think they have enough to make a little run here, similar to 4 years ago.
Excellent job, my man. A lot of picks. Good luck. We'll catch up with you soon. Enjoy USA tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Enjoy the games, guys.
Thank you, sir. Adam with RotoWire. Luke, check my numbers. I think BTTS is now 19-7. Bosnia got one late. And I think the dog to score is now 19-4, JJ. Because they got the late one there, too. Again, that's 1-0 in the 80th minute. Then the red card happens and 4-1 final. And they even scored a man down. Back to the concrete jungle up next. The MLB card, a stat on the Yankees you will not believe, coming up on Follow the Money. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Red Sox swept at home by the Blue Jays. Again, Boston on pace to lose 100 games. Worst home record in all of baseball. Toronto wins 4-3. There were five teams today trying to sweep their opponent. How about the Braves all of a sudden? The game was rained out, but they have lost 6 of 7 now. And as we were talking during the break, John, Philadelphia is only 6 back. And they're playing great ball under Mattingly, and the Braves now dealing with their first losing streak of the season.
Well, you had to figure at some point in time, probably the Braves were going to cool off. That was going to happen. I mean, they've just been on this insane heater for basically 2.5 months. And with a couple of key guys out of the lineup, but I think you've seen them get exposed a little bit here. But I can't say enough good things about the Phillies. The Phillies went and made the managerial change. They tried to jumpstart their team. And I want to remind everybody, they had a similar plan of action a few years ago when they said goodbye to Joe Girardi. They brought in Rob Thompson. That team went on a run and made it all the way to the World Series. You know, that Phillies team, they've been knocking at the door the last couple of years. They would have an insane 1-2 punch if they got in a postseason play with Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler. And I don't love the bottom of their order, Paulie. I think it's been a problem for them. We saw that in the Arizona series when they're in the playoffs. We saw it last year when they played the Dodgers. It felt like nobody at that bottom of the order could go and get a hit, and there's just too much pressure on the likes of Turner and Schwarber and Harper. But I'm seeing the Phillies at 15-1 right now on the odds board. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for somebody to maybe, dare I say, take a poke with, Phillies with the Dodgers. See, the thing with the Dodgers is nobody really cares what they do in the regular season because, hey, they've won 2 world championships. Wake me up. See you in October. Away you go. But they have age on that team. And a lot of people forget this about the Dodgers. They should have lost to the Blue Jays. They were thoroughly outplayed by the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So I have Atlanta already in the portfolio at 10-1. Uh-huh. I'm thinking long and hard about adding the Phillies at 15-1.
Sure, sure. $1.25 tonight, Nola against the throw-in Samoan. And this is only their first meeting. He had an ERA of 5 against them last year. There's some good numbers from player props. Bichette, 400 career against Nola. Sosa, you want to look at his total bases, 430 career against Manaea. And Stott, 444. But $1.25 total of 10. You like the Mets, though, tonight?
I do, and I'm going to get to that when we get to best bets for a couple of different reasons. Number one, historically speaking, they've played pretty well against the Phillies the last few years. So I like that. Sean Manaea has been very disappointing. Last year he was hurt. This year it took him forever to get going. But if you've watched him his last few outings, he's thrown the ball much, much better. I don't trust Aaron Nola. And I'm so glad you brought up that total base prop with Bo Bichette. He is on an insane heater when it comes to having two hits in a game. Uh-huh. I think he's done in either 6 or 7 consecutive games. So I think the Mets are live on the money line at plus 100. That's a bet I will be making. And I am totally cool if you want to get on board with Bo Bichette over 1.5 total bases, two plays I like in Mets Phillies.
Okay, let's get to your Yankees. What a run. They are 8-10. They're 9-4 since Judge got hurt. They're averaging 6 runs a game. You can look at Bellinger total bases again tonight, which is 2 over plus money at DraftKings. He's 6-for-8 in the series against the White Sox. Here's another team trying to sweep, and it's Weathers going for the Yankees, and they're up to $1.80. White Sox starters have an ERA of 8 in June, worst in Major League Baseball. They embarrassed Martin earlier in the series, what they did. And here's the stunner, and a lot of this is tied in going back how they've owned the Minnesota Twins, especially in the playoffs. But since 2024, the Yankees are 64-21 against the AL Central. 9.5 the total. Yankees up to $1.80 almost at DraftKings. What do you think, JJ?
So I think the Yankees at 165 is a little too rich for my liking, especially because Ryan Weathers has been giving up the gopher ball over his last few starts. So I don't feel great about laying a big number with him. I do think that total, and normally I don't like playing overs. I think there are a ton of runs in this game between the Yankees and the White Sox. Mm-hmm. The White Sox, for the most part all year, have swung the bats very well. The Yankees have been red hot offensively. I mentioned Weathers giving up the home run ball. I know it's a hefty total at 10, but I think we will have runs in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Chicago White Sox. And you're absolutely right, Paulie. Listen, Yankees see American League Central teams. They beat the living daylights out of them. And I had a take. I'm going to throw it at you. I can't believe I'm saying this because I know Aaron Judge is the best player. He's right there with Otani. He's a 3-time MVP. He's an absolute stud. From what I've seen recently out of the Yankees, Paulie, who's better in the American League? I mean, honest question, even without Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Like, these teams in the Central, absolutely not. Sorry, right. Cleveland Guardian fans who are listening. You never win in the postseason. You can't hit enough. Seattle would be the team that I would throw at you.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Judge not being in the equation, but the Yankees have had their way with Seattle. What I'm getting at here, Paulie, there's absolutely no excuse for the Yankees. In this Ron American League, they better be in the World Series.
Wow, that's strong. How aggressive do you want to get? Like with Ben Rice, MVP, and this kind of what he's doing is incredible, the year he's putting up. And I think it's Will Hill who's got the big ticket on him, MVP.
He does. Here's the problem that Ben Rice is going to have. The voters prioritize athleticism, defense, well-rounded baseball players. That's the evolution of the MVP award over the last couple of years, where a lot of these advanced stats have come to the forefront, not just from an offensive perspective. You're seeing it like defensively, base running, like the whole kit and caboodle. And that's where Ben Rice is not going to profile. But my counter would be, look at the guys who are right now up at the top of the odds board for MVP. Yordan Alvarez has been amazing. Mm-hmm. He's on a terrible team.
Yep.
Bobby Witt Jr.
No
has
chance.
Not, and I bet Bobby.
No chance.
And I bet him, Paulie, at the beginning of the year, terrible. It's a losing ticket.
Yeah.
It's dead. It's over. I admit it. I can't believe I bet the Royals to win a division. I bet with MVP. I'm going to take a big fat L on that. So it happens. What are you going to do? But you're going to give him MVP on a crummy team like that? And my question for anybody who's going to be like, oh, well, JJ, how is Ben Rice going to get in the MVP conversation? Who exactly is going and taking in the American League?
Mitch threw out Toronto a couple days ago. I'd still be concerned that Toronto can get their act together, and now they're approaching 500 after sweeping the Red Sox. I'm with you on Seattle.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, but Toronto.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Seattle would be the team for me because I think their pitching is outstanding. And if they're aggressive at the deadline, maybe adding another bat. And we saw last year, they were super, super close to getting to a World Series. Here's my thing with Toronto. I get Mitch's point, and I do think there are good buy low opportunities at this point on Toronto because they haven't had the same magic that they had a year ago. If you go back to last year, this was kind of the point in the season. They started to take off and they started to make their move. But these teams that lose in like crushing fashion, Paulie, that hangover ends up being a real thing. That's the only thing that keeps scaring me off the Blue Jays.
Fair enough. That's fine. But I'm stunned with what the Yankees are. Number one, the pitching's scary now that they're healthy. But to hit like this without Judge and the year Rice is having and Bellinger locked in. And I could see runs tonight in this White Sox game at home with the total of 9.5. Some other numbers here. Cameron goes for the Royals. $1.15 at home against St. Louis. What a story that is. St. Louis, number 2 in ROI this year. You're up over 10 units betting on the Cardinals in second place. Kansas City, 3-10 when Cameron starts. And 7 times in the next 11 games, the Angels and A's play. Was he scratched, Luke? I saw Soriano earlier. Now I don't see a pitcher listed. He must be off. Jumps going for the A's. Total of 10. A's 170 at home, jumped 2-0 with a 186 in the last 3. The Angels have scored first 11 games in a row. And the A's have been involved in a ton of high-scoring games here, but I think Soriano was off with that news. And Martin, even though with a rough outing the other night, number 1 for ROI for pitchers. The White Sox are 11-3 when he starts. He's up over 9 units. And Griffin for the Nats, they're 11-4 when he starts. He's up over 9 units. Eric Geddy up 7-plus units. They're 9-2 in his starts. And the White Sox are number 3 in ROI, up 10 units. Great story, but I'm with you, though. I mean, it just if the Yankees can't get this done, and you forget about the team that went to the World Series and then kind of embarrassed themselves against the Dodgers. This is a team that should get it done and end the drought. This is a scary team when they put it all together. If you missed out on the $1 million Splash Sports contest, you still have a chance to score big. Splash Sports has launched the 500K High Stakes World Cup Survivor, 1,000 to enter. It starts up at the round of 32. Each round, you pick one team to win. Once selected, you can't choose that team again. Get it right, you move on. Get it wrong, or it ends in a tie and you're out. Use code VEASAN, get a 50% deposit match up to $100. Free Quick Picks entry and a Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close on the 28th. Don't wait. Sign up now. SplashSports.com/VEASAN. Code VEASAN. Got to be 21. $1 million Splash Sports contest starts with the round of 32. Get in there now. Real or Fugazi up next. A lot of people don't like him, but he deserves a lot of credit for what he did. We'll get to that coming up on VEASAN Follow the Money, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard are here to make you a friend of ours.
That would mean you were a major.
Investigating what is and isn't legit.
That's a Fugazi. All right. That's a Fugazi. We looked at it for 2 seconds.
Seeing through the lines to make you a better.
I know you know. And I know you know I know you know.
The FDM Army is being sent for.
In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead. And it's your best friend that does.
These two wise guys would never steer you wrong.
Forget about it.
This is Real or Fugazi on Follow the Money.
You know it. And perfect timing. A New York City edition of Real or Fugazi. JJ, Wemby would have been suspended if there was a Game 6. Real or Fugazi?
I love that I can drop a Fugazi right out of the gate. Of course it's Fugazi. You know this, Paulie. they were going to make sure that their star players dictated the terms on the court. Now, I'm not justifying the Wemby play. I think it was dirty. I think it warranted a flagrant foul and an ultimate suspension. But you're asking me what the result would have been. I don't think the league would have suspended him. They didn't upgrade the foul that should have been upgraded for a flagrant foul earlier.
Yeah.
No, I'm going Fugazi on this one. I really do. I think he would have played game six.
That was Kawhi Leonard part two. Brunson could have been knocked out of the series. Knicks fans were going to riot if that happened. Wow, that would have been something. That really would have forced the league in a tough spot. He needs to embrace the villain role moving forward. Real or Fugazi?
I'm going to go Fugazi here on this. I think maybe in New York City, he's going to be public enemy number one as far as what happened with this series against the New York Knicks. But I think it's too early in Wemby's career to have that attached to him. I want to see how next year plays out. And I think you can get to a point where Wembanyama's style of play makes him so insufferable, as talented as he may be, that he does have to say, you know what, the hell with the haters. I'm going to go embrace the idea of being a bad guy. I just don't think we're at that point yet. Unless, of course, Paulie, you happen to be walking around New York City. Yes. And if you play the Knicks, you got to embrace the villain role. Wow. That's all.
That was a quick 180 because we loved them. And everyone loved him, especially what he did against OKC. And then a lot of, hey, wait, this guy's dirty. What's he doing? Headlock and sticking the leg out and pointing to his head. I'm in your head. And then that escalated quickly. James Dolan, between the speech to the players with a week left in the regular season, saying 10 weeks, I need 10 weeks, the guts, and he was criticized, to let go of Tibbs and pointing out he's running us into the ground. He's not playing the bench. We're playing too many minutes. We're running out of gas. Playoff times. Dolan deserves a lot of credit for what the Knicks accomplished and making a change with Mike Brown. Real or Fugazi?
Yeah, I'm going to say real here. I can't believe I'm saying it because I was very critical of James Dolan's tenure from the most part when he was owning the New York Knicks. But here's why he deserves the utmost credit. He was smart enough to realize I got to go and hire somebody who knows a lot more than I do. And he brought in Leon Rose.
Yeah.
And it was an out-of-the-box, outside-thinking type of hire. He goes against a super agent out of CAA, and he has stayed out of the way. He has let Leon cook, and the results have been outstanding because Leon Rose, every move he's made, has struck gold. Like, from the OG Anunoby trade, nobody's complaining about the picks now from Mikal Bridges, Cat. Right. And, yeah, I didn't like the firing of Tom Thibodeau. I thought it was a mistake, Paulie, that they fired Tom Thibodeau. Nobody's saying that now. And the comparison you have in New York forever is Buck Showalter to Joe Torre. I don't know if Mike Brown's going to go rattle off 4 out of 5 championships, but I can tell you this, 53 years without a title, you don't got to worry about paying for a meal in this town anytime ever again.
No kidding. And Brown getting the standing ovation at the steakhouse was awesome. This is the most likable New York sports team since the 86 Mets. Real or Fugazi?
It's real. I'll tell you what's Fugazi, though. I would put the 96 Yankees and the 2007 Giants and the 94 Rangers in that category, too. Because those teams all for different reasons.
Yeah.
Very, very likable teams. Very likable. But, yeah, it's got to be just because of the way the city united and rallied around the Knicks. And, listen, I know I'm Mr. New York, so the anti-New Yorker is going to be listening saying, yeah, of course, JJ, you find them super likable. I mean, they are. How do you not like Jalen Brunson?
Yeah.
How do you not like Karl Anthony Towns? How do you not like OG Anunoby? It's just like you don't have that mercenary hired gun leading this team. This is a puzzle that all of these individual pieces fit so beautifully together with. So it's real. Absolutely.
Okay. I mentioned it earlier, and you talked about it on your podcast. The best New York sports free agent signing ever. I think that's real. But Brunson ending the drought, because the Knicks sucked before he got there. And he turned them into a contender in a playoff team year in, year out. And then the iconic Game 5 and dropping 45 in the 45 on the road. Brunson is on Jeter's level now. Real or Fugazi?
That is Fugazi. And I love Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is the king of New York. In order to be on Derek Jeter's level, though, Paulie, you got to go and do it multiple times. I mean, Derek Jeter, from the minute he came into the big leagues, won 4 championships in 5 years. Now, you want to sit there and tell me the Yankees had more pedigree? Sure, yep. Be my guest. Yeah. They also had a 18-year title drought when he came to the team in 1996, right? Like, they had 95, good year, lost. I was hysterically crying when Edgar Martinez hit the ball down the left field line. Seattle beat the Yankees. But you got to win more than once. Like, Jalen Brunson could be the king of New York. Getting on Derek Jeter's level, let's just say that there's some work to do.
Tough, hard grader. Okay, after ending the 53-year drought, it's more likely that they come back to the middle of the pack than the East, than they repeat. Real or Fugazi?
Oh, that's Fugazi. And I understand the NBA now teaches us parity, parity, parity. That's why we haven't seen a repeat champ since the Golden State Warriors. But the odds boards have them in the top 4.
Yes.
I would make the argument they should be 3rd because they should be ahead of the Boston Celtics. And you mentioned Jalen Brunson. You want to bet against Jalen Brunson now that people are going to say, hey, you're 1 year one-off. Your team can't go and do it again. I would tread lightly with that. I'm not necessarily suggesting there's going to be another parade down the Canyon of Heroes in 2027, but middle of the pack in the East? Who do you like in the East? Like, Detroit's got to get some shooting. I'm very high on the Indiana Pacers. I know the Celtics will be heard from. How are the Knicks, assuming they're healthy, not a top 4 team in the conference?
Fair. Yep. I like them more than the Celtics, too, after what you said earlier on the show as well. I was there for over a week and a half. I loved Manhattan. I proposed at the Boathouse in Central Park. But one observation I had when I was there is every day trash day. Why? Every time. Why is there trash on the street every single night, no matter where you go? Is there, every day is trash day in Manhattan. Real or Fugazi?
That seems real.
Yes, it
especially
does.
In Manhattan.
Yeah.
But you know what? It makes sense, Paulie, when you have the amount of people that are living and working and just being a part of it all. Ultimately, like, you got to get rid of the trash. That's why we put
Sliding
our sanitation workers
streets.
To work.
It's on the streets, I know.
And that's why they're going to get well taken care of, hopefully, with a lot of overtime after cleaning up after this parade.
Yeah, no kidding. That was stunning. Love that. Good. Real or Fugazi. I can't get enough of the Brunson thing. I just can't believe. And you said earlier that it exceeded your expectations, how fun the parade was. You said the Uber Eats guy, the Robinson truck, Spike Lee out there, Frazier. And then Brunson finally went off on his critics. And that is, I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have. But this the whole list of everyone saying, criticizing the move, can't believe the contract, and that this guy gets to say, I told you so, and shut everybody up after what he did and taking the leaving the $110 million on the table. What an incredible story. And shame on the Dallas Mavericks, too, with all of it.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's such a great point, Paulie. You know, we as talk show hosts spent so much time a year ago dissecting the Mavs. How do you let Luka Doncic go? What a mistake letting Luka Doncic go. Fair, justified. Nico Harrison was absolutely out to lunch and clueless in making that move. But I'm glad that the revisionist history is now finally starting to acknowledge maybe they made a huge mistake in not paying Jalen Brunson because they could have. They chose not to. And I'm counting my lucky stars as someone that does New York content as a Knicks fan that Jalen Brunson got to free agency and make the argument it's the best free agent signing in the NBA ever. I won't put him ahead of Shaquille O'Neal. I think that's outrageous to do. Shaq's super dominant, insane, large and alive. The fact that we can have this conversation, though, is pretty wild, don't you think?
Yeah. I see that point, but also Kobe won with Gasol, and Kobe won some rings without him. But you ran it down earlier. They were a laughingstock how bad they were and dealing with the Isaiah Thomas debacle and the Phil Jackson debacle. And Brunson changed everything. There's a market on Giannis that has moved while we've been on the air. We'll tell you about that. And I want all of our listeners to do this. Mitch tried it and gave it up. John will tell you what he picked up, and he stuck with it. He'll tell you what that is next on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back, Paulie Howard. John Jastrzemski in for the next couple days. Fun show today, and we're getting ready for Canada and Qatar. And our previous guest recommends, gave out Canada to win to nil, which is even money. Canada got to have it. Minus 350 at DraftKings. Total, again, 2.5 against Qatar. In 10 of the last 11 matches, Canada has gone under 2.5 goals, and that goes in 15 minutes. Again, the BTTS is now 19-7 so far in the World Cup, and we'll see if Qatar can get another one. They got the draw in the last match. Shocker against Switzerland. Dogs, the dog to score, 19-4 run as well. This has moved since we've been on the air, and we talked about this in the first hour with Keith Smith from SpotTrack at Keith Smith NBA on X. I'm shocked that the Heat haven't pulled, that the Bucks haven't pulled the trigger here. Like, I think that's a great offer that they're offering Hero, Hawkes, Ware, another player, picks, lottery pick, 13th pick Tuesday, and they're hoping out that maybe Boston can do something, and I don't know what they do with Jaylen Brown, but I am taking that offer if I'm the Bucks. But at Pauly Market, Boston is minus 48% to land Giannis, the Heat minus 47%. What say you?
So I think there's calculus involved here. I think Milwaukee is dreaming bigger, Pauly, and I think their hope is they can orchestrate some sort of three-team trade involving Jaylen Brown. Boston goes and gets Giannis. Obviously, Milwaukee, if they're a rebuilding team, they're not keeping Jaylen Brown. They would look to flip him for a crazy asset. And that's where maybe a top five or a top six pick, like the Clippers, for example, comes into the equation. That, to me, is my pushback on it. And listen, here's what you got to ask yourself if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you want to do moving forward now as a franchise? Do you want to trade Giannis, get pieces back? You brought up all useful names. Not wrong. But do you want to, like, kind of cap yourself as like a 30, 35 win team? Or do you want to blow it up, get as much as you can as far as picks, stink for a year or two, and get back in the business of being in the lottery with minimal contracts, building this baby from the ground up? I don't know the proper answer to that question because I don't know what's in front of the Milwaukee Bucks, but I think that's kind of the language logistics we're looking at right now. What exactly do you want as a franchise? Because in theory, what you presented from the Miami Heat makes a ton of sense. And you know Miami's dying to get him because Pat Riley, at the end of his basketball career, is salivating over the possibility of getting one more star that he can leave as like a lasting legacy for the Heat and that franchise, a place he's been a part of now since he cowardly faxed his resignation from the New York Knicks to, I believe it was Dave Checkets back in 1995. And yes, I was still very bitter about the fact that Pat Riley left my team, but I also can acknowledge what a brilliant basketball mind he is. And he's had a ton of success as a coach and as a GM. But I think, long story short, that's what the Bucks have got to figure out here. What exactly do they want?
My comeback would be, what do the Celtics want to do? And we're going to talk to the legend Bob Ryan tomorrow. Who's going to
win
up
about that?
Yeah,
I know.
Can't wait. Because it's can they land him? But also, who wins the debate about, like Keith said, and you go back, let's do it on a Follow the Money podcast, that Brad Stevens was ticked off. It was unacceptable. They blew, first time in the history of the franchise, they blew a 3-1 series lead. How they play, the nonsense with the 53s a game. And he said, I want to play a different way. But I think Mazzulla is stuck in his ways about, this is how I want to play. I want to And then how many times can Jaylen Brown say, oh, this is my favorite season of NBA in my career. I had so much fun. You have to establish that. What you want to do is, can Tatum and Brown get on the same page? And what do you want to play? Do you want the big guy down low? Or are you going to continue to play the math game and the numbers game, which was great in a regular season, but we've seen it peter out in the playoffs the last couple of years? I don't know who's going to win that. Is it Stevens winning the argument? Or is it going to be more, I'll go with my guy, Mazzulla here?
You know, the three-point argument is one that I would always side with the new age analytics people, because I get it. I know the NBA has changed. But you have to have a feel for the game, Paulie. And that's clearly been lacking with the Celtics.
Yes.
We saw it in the series they played a couple of years ago at Miami, where it came back and bit them in the butt. Mm-hmm. We most certainly saw it in this past series against the Philadelphia 76ers. When the shots are not falling, you have to be able to adjust your offense and play a different style. They have not done that. Now, is that on Mazzulla? Is that an organizational philosophy? Well, I need more answers. When we have Bob Ryan on tomorrow, I think we'll get a better sense and a better feel. But it's not sustainable. And that's why, yep. Like, if you're playing the Celtics, you know what you're thinking? Hey, they're going to have one or two games in a series where they shoot crazy from three. You're going to have to accept that. But on those days where they don't, they're going to be stubborn about shooting them. If you play your game and execute your offense, you're going to take advantage.
Yeah. All good points. All good points. I'm interested to hear this. So I tried to play and just teach myself, and I got to the point where I could play a par three course, and that was it. But then I didn't want to go a real course and embarrass myself and that. But it's the only – I encourage all of our listeners to do it, because we love sports, and it's the only sport you can play as you get older. Mitch took the lessons. Mitch tried, but I think between the kid and it was so frustrating, he tapped out. Share the story of how you picked up golf and when you got into it and how it's worked out for you.
Well, Paulie, I got into it in COVID because remember, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
No sports, everything locked down in New York. I needed to get out of my apartment. So I got back into running, which I do. I ran in high school. Now I'm running half marathons. I love running. It's fantastic. It's therapeutic. It's good for my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But I got into golf because I watched it all the time. I had buddies that played. They said, it's the most fun. We get to hang out. You go play, scratch a competitive itch. And oh, by the way, if you're off, you can go have a couple of libations while you're out there. It's a win-win, cigar, the whole deal. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun. I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I was looking back at the club when I first started because I had bad baseball habits and I couldn't break my wrist.
Yes.
I basically taught myself how to play. I was embarrassing myself on golf courses. You mentioned how you were afraid to do so. I lived it. I embarrassed myself on golf courses for a good chunk of years. But I didn't take a ton of lessons, but I have a good buddy of mine who's a former golf pro, and I would send him videos of my swing. And, you know, you make tweaks. It's never ending. Like, I'm not going to pretend that I'm some scratch handicap. I'm not. If I play really well, I can break 90. But I can go out, enjoy myself, and have a great time on a golf course. And listen, it's a game for life, as you pointed out. I have a one-year-old daughter at home. I can't wait to get her into it, because not only is it something I can spend time with involving her for the rest of my life, it's advantageous for a lot of females who want to get into golf, maybe help daddy and mommy out as far as scholarships are concerned. So maybe it's a multi-purposed interest. But golf's the best. And yes, I did teach myself how to be mediocre. So I'll take that.
It's funny you mention that, because when I picked up golf, it ruined my baseball swing. I couldn't hit it anymore. Yeah.
I can see that. And I'm playing in a charity softball game in July. So I'll report back to see if there are any bad habits.
Okay.
I try to think of them totally, totally differently though. Like,
yeah. Well, what gives you the biggest problem? Short game's fine. Is it off the tee?
Actually, off the tee, I've been phenomenal recently.
Oh, really? It's the other way?
In the past, when I first started playing, I was embarrassing off the tee.
Yeah.
Embarrassing off the tee. I would say it's just consistency. You know, like, it's a lot of those feel shots. It's knowing to hit the right club. And a lot of it, for a lot of guys and gals who are getting into golf, and you get to a certain level, course management. Just like you see on the PGA Tour, the guys who know, hey, like, can't get myself in trouble here. Got to play for bogey. Guys on the tour, they're playing for par. They're a different level. But, like, that element from a mental standpoint cannot be overlooked in any way. And, you know, it's the best game. Like, if I have free time and I'm off, that's all I want to do, Paulie. I want to play golf. So when I'm out in Vegas visiting you guys out in VSiN, I will be enjoying some of the fabulous, fabulous golf courses that Las Vegas, Nevada has to offer. I've already played a bunch. I'd like to add a couple more to the list.
Well, we got to get you at Shadow Creek, and that's a bucket list item.
That's on the list. I've not played it. I heard it's phenomenal.
Oh, God, we got some great courses out here, no doubt. We'll talk to the meat man, Steve Wiss, in half an hour. He's got a plethora of World Cup picks. But up next, we stick with the golf and the U.S. Open. There's a four-way tie at the top. Several golfers have imploded since we've been on the air. We'll talk to Kelly Bidlin up next. His thoughts on what's going on with round two. Guys to fade. The wheels came off with Koepka. A lot to get to in some matchups as well, what he's looking at, and the numbers as Rory's the favorite now with the U.S. Open. We'll talk to Kelly Bidlin up next on VSiN. Follow the money. Paulie Howard, John Jastrzemski, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Golf straight ahead.